So not surprisingly, I've been thinking a lot about silence. You know, and that was sort of what was going on with the whole thing with the bears and whatnot. And so in the usual way of things, I was trying to connect that experience with my own understanding of Buddhism or the Buddha Dharma, and try and make some sense out of things and be able to share that with people. So my topic for the evening was, as I posted, samsara and nirvana, but more specifically, how this relates to meditation practice and silence in particular. And sort of the way it began sort of sorting itself out in my own thinking was more along the lines of backwards rather than starting with samsara and nirvana and going to silence, but starting with silence and wondering how it is and why it is that my mind isn't silent and where all that chatter comes from and the influence of all that chatter, and understanding that then as leading to difficulties, i.e. samsara, or not difficulties, i.e. nirvana. So the usual way of things, at least the way I think about things, is to start with cause and to go to effect. But for some reason, that's not the way it worked. Maybe that's the impact of Glacier Park on my noggin. I really have no idea. But anyway. So the thing that I really noticed was that we were in the park for 10 full days, plus, you know, a little bit at the beginning and the end. And when I first got there, it was like all this stuff, like run around that you have to do, and my mind is like, we got to do this, and there are also rainstorms going on, which kind of churned everything up. And as the days wore on, my mind calmed down, and started noticing that everybody else around me was crazy, you know. And then I got crazy again, and then I got quiet again, and then we left. So it was kind of this funny thing that happened. But we didn't have anything to do, right? So I could just sit there, and there wasn't any TV, there wasn't any music to listen to, really, anything like that. All there was just this unbelievable landscape, which kind of overwhelms you. And so that's really a good thing for making your mind kind of calm down. And I kept thinking of things like, there are a lot of Indians, not Native American Indians, but India Indians who are coming to the park, to this lodge anyway. And also a lot of Chinese from China and a few from the United States who are probably working around here. More than we'd ever seen before. And in particular, this one Indian couple showed up really late at night, like around 11 o'clock at night. I don't know what they thought was going on, why they would show up there at 11 o'clock at night, and they had two kids. And the hotel front desk people were trying to be very helpful to get them situated and whatnot, because nobody shows up there at 11 o'clock at night. It's really in the middle of no place. It's hard to get there, you know. It's like, were they in Seattle at 5 in the morning or something? I don't quite know what they were thinking of. Anyway, but the only thing I could think of, because there was all this chaos going on all around this, is that this couple and their kids are going to wake up in the morning and they're going to look out the window and they're going to pass out because it's so stunningly beautiful, and they're going to be shocked because it's not like they're going to drive up and they're going to see these mountains and snow fields and lakes and all this other stuff. They're just going to wake up and pull the curtains back and think, oh, you know, like that, you know, shocking. And so it emphasized for me the overwhelming quality of how that space made my mind be quiet. And because it made my mind be quiet, I could watch the chatter that was going on in my mind. And in particular, because I was still feeling very much like I was caretaking for Kay, you know, I was watching all of that sort of stuff going on at the same time. And it was a little bit true, but mostly it was not true, because she was doing very well on her own. And that was obvious. So now there was a disjunction between what was actually going on around me and our relationship and what was going on in my mind. And then there was the actual space, the natural world that was going on that was getting my attention, right? And so I could see really clearly that all the stress that I would feel about, is she going to trip over this rock? You know, is this root going to come out and tangle her foot up? And then we're 4 miles out from the lodge, and how am I going to get her back? And all this kind of stuff. That was my mind, right? Because she was doing okay. Right? So that was my mind. That wasn't reality. And it was making me really stressed and unhappy. And it'd be really easy to see that, because I'd be thinking that, and then I, you know, kind of turn my head and look up and hear these incredible peaks and, you know, stuff going on. It's kind of like, why are you thinking about this, David? What is going on? You know, you don't have to do this. Here's this other thing happening. And it wasn't like being in Le Grand or watching TV where there's some other kind of stories going on that are going to suck you in. It's kind of like, there's just whatever is out there. If there's a story, it's coming from me. It's not coming from out there. There's stuff coming from out there, but not stories in the usual way. So it became really apparent that as soon as my mind would turn off and I would relate to the natural space around me, all the unhappiness and stress would go away, right? And as soon as I'd look down at the ground and watch the footsteps and the rocks, okay, walking ahead of me, because she usually walked ahead of me, you know, so she could set the pace, then all that neurotic crap would come up, and then there'd be all these thought forms, and one thing would lead to another, would lead to another, would lead to another. And I'd feel my guts churning, get tight, and my body would get tight, you know. It's like, and I watch myself just go back and forth between being overwhelmed, it's wonderful, and calm down, and then like thinking about crazy, neurotic, unhappy stuff, and you know what I'm saying. So it was like that. So it became perfectly apparent that as long as I followed the train of my own thoughts in relationship to this specific situation, based upon what I brought to the situation, which was my own fears and concerns, not based upon the situation itself, that led into a negative kind of place. Samsara. That's what the Buddhists mean by samsara. It's the cycle of repetitively going through the same thoughts, the same concerns, the same fears, all this kind of stuff over and over again with the same negative consequences. And then, of course, nirvana would come along, and nirvana would be, we'd get to a bridge over a river, and, you know, we'd hear this beautiful water gurgling away, and we'd look up the stream and see where it was coming from these gorgeous peaks, you know, and you know, not too many mosquitoes, and some birds would wander by, and, you know, some happy hikers would wander by and like that. And it was like my mind would calm down. It was like beautiful. And I remember sitting on a bench, looking at this view one point, saying to Kayla, this must be what paradise looks like. I mean, if heaven looks like anything, this is what it looks like. Maybe minus the occasional mosquito that we got, but basically this is what it looks like anyway. So it was really apparent that my own thought forms were creating the one thing or the other thing, and that they could subside if I let them subside. So, and of course then the trick is letting them subside and not getting caught by them. I mean, that's the trick of meditation, if you will, or that's the issue of meditation, is being able to realize that the stories that we're hearing between our ears, or whatever is the locus of those stories in our body minds, that is just, as Zatshoje says, it's just another story. Because what the mind does is it creates stories. That's its job. You know, the job of the kidneys is to take certain kinds of unnecessary chemicals out of the bloodstream so you can excrete them. So kidneys purify the blood. That's the job of the kidneys. Well, the job of the mind is to make up stories. But the mind makes up stories based upon previous experience and conditioning and circumstance. So sometimes the stories it makes up are cool, Sometimes they're complete baloney, and sometimes they're downright neurotic and make us unhappy. Whatever the case may be, they're just stories. And somehow, the art of meditation, and therefore the mechanism for finding the route to some peace of mind, is to back off from believing the stories, or getting hooked by the stories, or getting dragged along by the stories, and just notice that, well, there goes another story, you know. That's the story of what do we do 4 miles out from the hotel if Kay trips over a rock. Okay. This is the story of, oh, gee, we've been out hiking around here for 9 days, and I always was hassling with the bear spray in my bag, my backpack, trying to figure out what to do with it. And I got sick of it, and so I left it at the hotel, and that's the day that the three bears showed up behind me, right? Oh, okay. That's another kind of, like, thing, story. It's like, okay, you know. So that's kind of it. And the metaphor that I really like for this, and that has been really helpful for me as I learned to work with my own mind in this way, is the metaphor of the clouds in the sky, which I've shared in the past. But it's a great story. It's a great metaphor, which is that ultimately our minds, let me say it this way. Ultimately, the nature of our consciousness, the nature of us, as the Buddhists say, is that our consciousness is clear and knowing. That's the nature of consciousness, that it's clear and knowing. And mind is a function of consciousness. When consciousness unites with the sense organs, something arises. And when consciousness unites with memory, mind arises and thoughts arises, and we weave stories. And the thing about meditation is to see, that's another story. Might be interesting to know where that story came from, but don't get caught by it. And as the clouds pass through the sky, they have no effect on the sky. The sky is the same whether the clouds are there or not. The clouds come, the clouds go, the sky abides. And the sky is like the sky like mind, excuse me, the sky like consciousness. It's our natural heritage, it's what we actually are. And clouds are okay, we need rain. Clouds are good. I mean, we'd be in big trouble if we didn't have rain. So our minds are useful within limits. Too much rain is not too good. No rain is not too good. So anyway, so that's what I've been thinking about since coming back from Glacier. And it seems that there probably really isn't anything in Buddhism beyond what I just described. I think that that's pretty much it. I mean, as a professor, I find it more and more difficult to teach as the years go on, because everything becomes simpler and simpler and more straightforward. It's like, how am I going to fill up a 5-unit class with all this talk about something when actually it's so simple that I'm not sure I have more than 5 minutes of anything to say about it, you know? So, I mean, tonight, 20 minutes, but it gets harder and harder. So, that's kind of it.